change me and to change you and do some wonderful things. But it begins with you and me. Amen. It begins with us as individuals and us as a body. Hallelujah. Right back at you, brother. But God is good. Well, New Year's Eve, I was in church. And we went to a church service at 10 o'clock in the evening. And had a good worship service. Had communion. And I just wanted to be in the Lord's house bringing in the new year. It was something that was personal. Kind of got convicted that we didn't have nothing here. And Lord said, what you going to do next year? And I says, well, we'll discuss that as a body when the next year comes. But it's okay to get convicted and to have New Year's Eve services. We should have done something as a body. And I apologize for not stepping up and standing up and having anything. But that will change next year. I looked at Heather sitting in the pew and said, I'm convicted. And she goes, why? And I says, because we should be doing something like this with our body, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not that where we were at was anything wrong, was any sin, but just we had a good time and got blessed and got honored. And all that's irrelevant unless people come to Jesus and our hearts melt before the Lord. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. Father, I want to thank you for the word. Father, I don't know what this service may entail or what you may have planned, but I'm just going to deliver the things that you've placed upon my heart today in the portable, Father. And I thank you that this is a new day and a new beginning and a new year, Father God. Help us to grasp every opportunity to witness, Father, in the name of Jesus, and to be your witnesses in the world, Father God, like you've called us to be, Father. Lord, I lift up my mom to you that you would touch her, that you would heal her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God. I rebuke that fever in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you for hearing a good rapport when we leave this place tonight. Whatever time you let us leave, Holy Ghost, I just give you complete control of this service, Father. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of childlikeness. How many people want to go to heaven? How many people know that unless we become as a child, we can't even enter into heaven? We've got people that today in the 21st century, they want to be like T.D. Jakes and they want to be like some of these other great evangelists. And yet Christ said that unless we become as a child, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Isn't it amazing that we must have a foundation on love and on childlikeness so that we can grow as Christians in God's kingdom? We cannot grow in God's kingdom unless we walk in love and unless we have a childlike dependency on the Lord. Thank you for the amen. It's quiet in here because it's a lot easier to act more mature than it is to act childlike, dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet Jesus was around in the multitude and they were bringing little kids to him. And the disciples said, isn't it just like the elders and us older people to say, hey, get the little kids out of here. We've all done it. Get them out of here. And yet Christ said, suffer them to come unto me. These are the words of our master. So we must become more like little children. And he took the little children on his lap and he began to pray with them and he began to touch them and he began to just play with them and be around them. And the children loved to be around him. And we must become childlike for us to grow as a body and us to grow individual. We must return to childlikeness. There's a lot of things we must return to, but we must return to childlikeness. It's imperative that we return and become as little children. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Just a little scripture. I just talked about it, but we're going to read it in depth because what Jesus had to say, I want to pay attention to. And I think that we should all pay attention to it. These are the words of our Savior and our Master. Hallelujah. I'm going to start with verse 13. As they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. My brother and sister, we must receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And you're not going to hear this on the television because it's not a popular thing and it's too insignificant in some's eyes. But yet it was significant enough that our Lord and Savior talked about it and brought it out and says, hey, we need to become as little children. Little children are sensitive. Little children sometimes blurt out the truth even when they shouldn't. Thank you for the amen. Sometimes they just say things that they ought not, but it's the truth. And they'll just tell you straight laced that person ain't right. That person needs to get right. And they're just honest. You just look at a young, if I bring Kayla out here, she's just honest. She's just a little child. But yet Christ wants us to become like that. Christ wants us to become like these little children. Why? Because such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, my brother and sister? Such is the kingdom of heaven. And every person in here that wants to be childlike, and I'm going to get wrapped up and fall, but that's okay. First time for everything. We must become like little children. Ephesians 5:1. That doesn't mean we act like little children, but we have a little child heart and a little child sensitivity to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit. We still desire the sincere milk so we can grow. We all have not arrived yet to where we don't need to become like little children and let the master teach us and let the master take us and dangle us upon his knee and play with us and stroke our hair and tell us how much he loves us. We all need to become like little children. An element in spiritual growth is in 1 Peter 2:2. And we're going to read that next. We must, if we want spiritual growth, these are key points to your spiritual growth and to my spiritual growth. Just because we talk in tongues, have a good worship service, doesn't mean we're growing spiritually. Oh, that went over like a sore thumb, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. We're going to have to face some music around here, my brother and sister, if we want to grow. Thank you for the amen. And it's okay that it's quiet in here. I expected it to be quiet in here. Because when God speaks and the Holy Ghost speaks, he knows directly on the subject matter that we need to talk about. He knows the fact that we all need to become more childlike and depend on him. Because the requirement of God's kingdom is to become like a child. Not the requirement of your boss and not the requirement of the first church. But it is the requirement of your Lord and Savior is to become like a child. And oh, it is a struggle, but to come like a child, because people want to walk around like they have arrived, like they've got everything together, when in fact none of us have anything together without the grace and mercy of Almighty God. So we all need to stop walking around here like we have everything together, and we need to stop fronting, and we just need to say, hey, I've been in a lot of trouble this week. I've been asking God to help me all week. Well, somebody, please stand in agreement and pray with me. It's okay to bear one another's burdens. It's okay for me to go up to Brother Mike and say, Mike, I've had a week. I need you to stand with me, brother. I need you to pray with me. It's okay. I'm not here to look at Brother Mike and say, oh, you worthless Christian, how dare you act like that. That's not Christianity. That's not being a brother and sister in Christ. We were joking around with my dad earlier about my mom not being here because she's sick. Because she had a tendency to always get onto us as kids and say, you should have come to church and got prayer. And so I was joking around with my dad, well, why didn't mom come to church and get prayed for? And it's a joke. I don't mean nothing by it. And dad, if I hurt your feelings, I apologize. But we need to be sensitive. There are some people, if we were to say that to, they leave the church. Because you can't say that to them without them being offended. And see, we've got to be very careful not to offend the Holy Ghost and not to offend each other. Amen. And if we're walking as little children before our master, I believe honestly that our desires, everyone in here, we don't desire to hurt each other. I really believe that. But at times we have. At times we've rubbed each other the wrong way because we were letting the flesh rule and not our spirit. Thank you for the amen. I'm just a straightforward kind of person. What you see is what you get. Y'all know me. However, I know God's voice when he speaks. And you know what? This wasn't even on my agenda. I was looking at something else until Ashley walked in. And I'm trying to get ready for tonight's service. And I got a little bit aggravated. And the Lord said, what are you doing? And I stopped for a minute because I know when God speaks to me. And this one, he gave me this. So you can thank my daughter for this. But I got short with her. But such is the kingdom of heaven. Doug, Sherry, such is the kingdom of heaven is Kayla. I was over in the portable trying to get ready, and Ashley came over there, and I got a little impatient, a little irritable, and Lord got on to me. I said, Ashley, I called her name, got her back in there, let her sit on my lap, and I just began to hug her because I wanted her to know that she's not a bother to me, and we're not a bother to him, and we must become like little children. To enter in. It's so insignificant in some's eyes, but yet in the Master's eyes, that's exactly where we need to be. It's like little children. And I know I'm not preaching tonight, I'm more teaching, but there are some things that God wants to sink in and sink in very, very clear and us to get a grasp of and a hold on and let it sink into our heart for this year of 2009. Isn't it amazing that we're only in the fifth day in 2009, and yet we're hearing a message this morning, and now we're hearing a message this evening of being childlike, because such is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to go home and study on that and look up on that, because such is the kingdom of heaven, to be like little children. 1 Peter 2:2, I haven't turned there, forgive me, but 1 Peter 2:2 says this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We have to desire the things of God like we've never desired the things of God before in our life. We're in the 21st century. We're in the year 2009. And we've got to desire the things of God like we've never desired the things of God, for him to move in and through our lives, and him to touch us, and for us to stay sanctified. Because don't you think for a minute that our enemy is going to sit back and just sit in a corner and not try to pull out all the stops to stop us, not try to pull out all the stops to put wedges between each and every one of us, for us to get irritable with one another, and us to get short with one another, and us to get offended, and us to want to reject and not be around one another? Don't you think he's not going to try to pull out all the stops and try to stop what God has ordained and what God has placed for us in this year of 2009? Now, we have to line up, my brother and sister. We have to own up, and we're going to have to pray up. Amen. I don't know what it's going to take for us to get together, but we must come together the more as we see that day approach. And that's not just a Sean Ninnis or a Brother Venable saying or a Doug saying. It's the Word of God saying. It's in your Bible that we need to come together the more. And I know that we all have obligations and responsibilities, but we also have a responsibility to come together and pray. If that means that we have cell groups and a pocket here and a pocket there, God will honor it and God will understand it, because not everybody can come down here. But there are people that live in Land of Lakes that can get together and pray. And there are people over here in Plant City that can get together and pray. So we can see the hand of God move. And God can change me and God can change you. I don't want this year to be like last year. I want it to be different. I want to be a different man. I want to be a different husband. I want to be a different father. I want to be a different brother to you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God is good. And we must become, I can't get off of it, like little children. Jesus said, suffer them. Your master said, suffer them to come unto me. Every thriving church will have a good children's church ministry. I'm not saying that to discredit us or make us feel bad. I'm just saying that because we need to get on our face and allow God to let us become like little children and let Him do the work in us that needs to be done. We're going to go out into a world and we're going to run into somebody in the Goodwill or in public supermarkets or at the schoolhouse, and we're going to be able to tell them about Jesus, and they're going to come and they're going to get saved. And that's the revival that's going to have to happen. We've seen it happen. We saw it happen at my mom and dad's house. We just had a prayer meeting, and Sherry would go out and run into people and invite them, and they would come, and God would touch them. Not everybody stayed, but you know what? They cannot deny that they were met and they encountered the living God. They cannot deny it. They cannot look at me and look at us that were a part of that and say that they did not encounter the living God, because they did. It's their choice that they did not follow on to know the Lord, but there are two that did. There were two that followed on to know the Lord, and one was Doug, and the last I recall, Randy was serving the Lord, and Randy was demon-possessed, and we cast devils out of him, and he struggled and was with going back and was struggling, but the last I heard, he was in the Navy getting made fun of, because before he ate his meal, he would pray and ask God to bless it, and we were a part of that, because we came together. We went out and we invited people and they came. That's what God wants from us, is that when we're out in the public arena, when we're out in the marketplace, that they see our joy. It doesn't matter if you looked, been jerked through and not hold backwards. I want you to remember something. When you step out of your vehicle, you are an ambassador of the Almighty God. You represent the kingdom of God. And it's time that we shake off some petty little things, and we shake off these little things that bother us. And we square our shoulders and we raise our heads and we say, I am a child of the Most High God. I'm going to shake this depression. I'm going to shake this feeling that I feel right now, because that's just what it is. It's a feeling. It's not the truth. It's not a fact. The fact is that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The fact is I am on my way to heaven. The fact is I have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. The fact is that we are kings and priests and God loves us. That is the facts, my brother and sister. That is the actual truth of God's Word. That's what God's Word says about you, and that's what God's Word says about me, that if we're children, we're heirs, and if we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus. And God wants us to get a little tenacity and get a little backbone and square our shoulders and look people in the face and say, yes, I've had a bad day, but I'm still a Christian. I'm still on my way to heaven. My husband won't come to church with me, but I'm still a Christian. I've still got some praises to give to Almighty God, because He saved me. He delivered me. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. My kids won't serve Him, but it's okay. I still got praise for Almighty God, because He's worthy. He's worthy of everything that each and every one of us have to offer. He's worth it all. But He wants us to be like little children. He wants us to be so dependent on Him. It doesn't matter if we're $5 short on our rent, we don't call Dad, Sherry, we call Him. That's how dependent the Lord wants us to be on Him. And that's easier said than done. But God wants us to be so dependent on Him that we run to Him, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. God wants us to be dependent on Him. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, that unless you become like a child, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. I don't care how many emails I get. It's in the book. Take it up with the master. Doug, if you get hits, emails, I'm sorry. It's in the book. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says this. Brethren, Be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. God wants us to be children, but he wants us to be men of understanding. Men of understanding the times that we live in. We're living in some horrific, horrifying times. We're living in times where they're saying, go and marry. Just go and eat the fat and drink the sweet all the time. And hey, there's a time to eat the fat and there's a time to drink the sweet. And there's also a time to fast and there's also a time to pray. My mom did some spiritual warfare over me when I was backslidden. I'd come in from going out with my friends, and I'd walk in the front door, and she'd be on her face praying and pleading the blood of Jesus and being intercession. We don't have too many men and women that want to be on their face in intercession for their kids anymore these days. They want to go up to the preacher or to the pastor and have him pray. And hey, he should be there and he should pray and he should be in agreement. But there is something about you praying over your kids and interceding for them and getting in, standing in the gap and making up the hedge, because you are a priest to Almighty God, to the men in here that have wives and husbands and children. And there's something about when you grab a hold of the horns of the altar and you stand in the gap and you make up the hedge. There's something mighty and something powerful that happens, that when you begin to plead the blood of Jesus over your family and over your house. I'm telling you, you may not see immediate changes, but you will begin to see something change in the heavenlies. David said, "The moment I pray, the tide of battle changes." We don't see necessarily things in the natural right away, but that's why we look through the eye of faith, my brother and sister. That's why we have to look through the eyes of faith. That's why we have to see our children saved. We have to see our loved ones saved. And I'm not getting into easy believism or to seeing those things, and I'm not into that. But what I'm into is praying and believing that God is going to do exactly what he said that he's going to do. Because he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it, and will he not bring it to pass? He'll bring it to pass on the conditions that he's laid out for you and for me. Thank you for the amen. Just like salvation is a condition. Every prayer we pray, there's a condition for God answering. Jesus told the children of Israel, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. They first had to be willing. Then they had to be obedient to go into Cana. And they didn't, did they? The first generation didn't. Thank you for the amen. But God's going to raise up a generation that are going to be willing, that are going to be obedient, that want to do what God says to do at all costs. There have been things in my life touch me where I have had to forgive people, and I could only forgive them by the grace of God. There have been people that have done me wrong, and I walked up to them and gave them a hug and gave them a kiss on the cheek and say, I forgive you. And they looked at me like I got two heads. It wasn't for them. It was for me. It was so I could be free, so that I wouldn't have any bitterness or any malice toward that person, so that my prayers wouldn't be hindered when I pray. Sometimes your prayers aren't answered because you've got bitterness that you need to deal with, my brother and sister. You cannot hold on to that bitterness in 2009 and expect God to answer you and expect your walk to just continue and be glorious and gracious. God does not go against his word. God does not go against his word. You've got bitterness, get rid of it, and get rid of it this year. Get rid of it tonight. Come to this altar and do business with him, because you cannot be bitter and have your prayers answered. Cannot have unforgiveness and have your prayers answered. If I don't forgive Mike, guess what? Our Lord and Savior is not going to forgive me. Amen. See, it gets down to the nitty gritty. It gets down to when I get upset, I have to sit back and think of the consequences sometimes. I hadn't always done that, but lately I've been, when I go to get upset, I just walk outside and say, okay, Lord, what's your word say? Okay, if I do this, the consequence is going to be that. Okay, I don't want to do that. I walk back inside and say what I got to say. And it's amazing how God can change the situation, how God can work out the situation. Why? Because I'm dependent on Him. And see, we get too dependent on words from the Lord instead of the word of the Lord. And if we just get back into the word of the Lord, His word will speak to us. It will come alive, and He'll teach us the things that we need to learn. I want to read Romans chapter 8. I want you to know that God expects a lot out of us because we've all been given a whole lot of meat in this church. So God expects more out of us than most. And guess what? We got a lot of owning up to do, including myself. I'll be the first to admit it. We've got a lot of owning up to do. A lot of owning up to do. Lord, you hear me, Lord. I'll be hearing this message later on in the week. I can already hear it. Remember when you spoke Sunday night, son? I can already see it coming. Because that's how God deals with me. But I love Him. I'm glad that He chastens us. I'm glad He corrects us. He does it because He loves us. He's not going to leave us the same. We can't be the same as we were in 2008. Amen. We cannot be the same as we were in 2008. Of the hit and misses. You don't understand what I'm telling you. We cannot be the same as we were in 2008. We've got to put aside our petty little problems, including myself. And we're going to have to press. And we're going to have to press some more. And when we think it's real bad, we're going to have to press even harder. Walking this Christian walk, nobody said it was going to be a bed of roses. Nobody said it was going to be a piece of cake. And if they told you that, they lied to you, and I'm sorry, sir. But after you're illuminated, the Bible says you endure a great fight of affliction. The enemy's not just going to sit back and let you just have an easy stroll to heaven. He's going to do everything he can. The Bible says this about our enemy. In the last days, he's going to do everything he can to try to wear down the saints. Try to wear us down. Try to make us so tired that we have no energy for the things of God. That's why the Lord comes to us. There are times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord where He pours oil and wine into the wound. And there are times of rejoicing. There are times of laughter. There are just times of sitting in His presence and Him just touching us and wooing us. Because He knows that our enemy is trying to wear us down, and He knows how to touch us. God knows how to touch you in your deepest, darkest hour. God knows how to touch me when I'm down and just feel like throwing in the towel. God knows how to touch you, and God knows how to touch me. But you've got to let Him. You've got to let Him. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're not only children, but we're heirs. I'm His son, I'm His heir. Now, He don't have $1 million, but what He has, God forbid, when He passes away, is mine and my sister's. No different than with Jesus. What Jesus has is ours. We're His heirs. We're His joint heirs. We're His ambassadors upon this earth. Whenever we can bind and we can loose. We can bind up fetters of iron. We can bind up kings and we can loose kings. We can bind up principalities and powers and we can loose powers. We can even bless and we can even curse according to the word of God. But what are you going to do differently in 2009 that you didn't do and I'm going to do in 2009 that I didn't do in 2008? We've got to become like little children. I can't get off of that. I'm sorry. God won't let me get off of it tonight. Because guess what? Just because we're up here or we come to a little church and we all love one another and we all want to see God move, doesn't mean we're all being like little children. And yet we can't even enter into heaven unless we become like little children. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior. These are the words of our Master. And yet you won't see this at the Sun Dome. You won't see this in Texas. Childlikeness. How to get into heaven. Become like a child. You won't hear that too often. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm just being factual. I'm being truthful. We must become like little children. And we must love the little children and allow them to express themselves in here. That doesn't mean we let things get out of order. But hey, let them worship the Lord. My God in heaven, maybe it'll excite some of us. And we'll get excited about worshiping the Lord again. And we'll want to bow down and praise our Lord and Savior and worship the King of Kings. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In Ephesians 5:1 from the Apostle Paul. Yet Jesus says over in the New Testament, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer them, let them, allow them to come to me. Allow them, I want them to come to me. He wants you and me to come to him. He wants us to be like little children. But we're so busy trying to be like good Christian adults. We've got everything together. Because we're good. I've served the Lord for 15 years, bless God. I've got it together. No, you don't. No, you don't. People tell me, when somebody tells me they've been serving Jesus for 20 years, that don't impress me, I'm sorry. It just don't impress me. Well, Brother Sean, why don't it impress you? I'm glad you asked. I can have a car sitting in the garage for 20 years. Don't mean I use it. I can have a fishing pole sitting in the garage for 20 years, but unless I get out and throw it in the water and try to catch a fish with it, guess what? It's just going to sit there. Brother Sean, you're being critical. No, I'm being factual. Just because we serve Jesus for 20 years, 10 years, or 5 years, it's not how long we've been on the road. It's how far we've traveled down the road in this walk of Christianity. It's how far we've come down the road through our many tribulations. It's how far we've let God change us and rearrange us. And how much we've allowed him to work in and through our lives. I don't care if you've been saved for 25 years. It doesn't impress me. I don't care if you speak in tongues. It doesn't impress me. I don't care if you prophesy. It doesn't impress me anymore. Because I'm coming back to some basics in my own personal life. That yeah, there was a time. Yeah, I want God to use me. But before he uses me, I'm first a Christian. And you're first a Christian before you do anything. And we're supposed to be Christ-like in everything that we do. There's a tough one. In everything that I do, in everything that you do, we're supposed to be Christ-like. So that means when that person on the job that really gets to you, we're supposed to be Christ-like and love them anyway. And let the love of God flow through us to them. And show them that we are a Christian, as hard as it might be. Say, no, this year it's going to be different with me. I'm going to love that person if it kills me. And that's exactly what God wants, it to kill your flesh. For your flesh to die, for it to be crucified. So it's no more you that live, but it's Christ that lives through you. Paul said, it's no more I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Brother Sean, I'm dead. I've been crucifying the flesh. Really? Let me slap you in the face. We'll see how quick how much you're really walking in the Spirit to a brother or a sister in Christ. You're really walking in the Spirit? All right, let's see. Let's do one of the most practical things in the Bible. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That's easier said than done. I'm being honest. That's easier said than done. When reviled, somebody's angry at you, don't get angry at them. That's hard to do, my brother and sister. Hard to do. We've all failed. Because we're all laughing, we're all giggling, we're all guilty. But guess what? In 2009, God wants us to work on that. That don't mean we're not going to ever fail. That don't mean we're not ever going to make a mistake in that area. But it does mean that when we do, we go to him and say, Lord, I need help. Please help me. We go to him as a little child and say, Daddy, I blew it. I'm sorry. Please help me. But see, we come to church and we're going to act like we got everything together. And 90% of the time, none of us in here have everything together. Let's be honest. We're holding on to God with 10% of our hand when we don't really need to be holding on to him. We just need to let him hold on to us. He does a much better job at holding on to us than us trying to hold on to him. He began the work. He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. As long as you let him. And as long as you allow him to convict you and to woo you. When you make a mistake and you get that sharp pain in your stomach and you go to God and you repent, that's a good thing. When you make a mistake and you get that sharp pain and you keep going about your business, that's a bad thing. Because you're not being sensitive to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And oh, we don't need to not be sensitive to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to it. And we need to allow him to convict us. You know, you can be walking through the mall and not that there's any sin in that. And the Lord can say, go talk to that person. And you just might think you're crazy. That wasn't God, that was just you. When in fact it was God. And God, I was in the mall one time and the Lord said, go talk to that person. And I'm like, you got to be crazy, Lord. That's got to be me. So I went to leave and my car wouldn't start. All right, Lord, you got my attention. So I went in and talked to the person for about 30 minutes. Come to find out it was a backslid person. And I says, well, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Went back to my car and my car started. How ironic. How ironic. And I said, all right, Lord, got my attention. That's how God deals with me. I'm not saying God's going to do that to you, but I know when the Lord speaks to me and I was in a hurry that day and the Lord had other. See, that's when we need to be like a little child and we listen to the Spirit of God, because we might have an agenda and God might change our agenda that day. The question is, are we going to allow God to change our agenda for that day? That's the hard part. I've got to go grocery shopping. But in the grocery store, the Lord says, go talk to that person. Because why? Because you have life in you, and you have salvation in you, and you have hope in you, and you can share it to a lost, damned, and dying soul that's on their way to heaven. The hope that they need lives inside of you. And the hope that I need lives inside of them, lives inside of me that they need. We've got hope inside of us, and we need to get it out. That's why we haven't seen anybody run the church in a while. We've been too busy getting in instead of pouring out. We need to do some pouring out into this community, into a lost, damned, and dying world, and God's going to pour in. But we need to pour out so the rivers of living water can flow. They're not going to flow, my brother and sister, until we pour out. Thank you for the amen. I'm sorry, but they're not going to flow unless we pour out to a lost, damned, and dying world. They're not going to flow for us to get holy laughter anymore. God's given us too much knowledge, too much scripture knowledge. But they will flow when we give out to a lost, damned, and dying world. When we begin to witness and when we begin to do the things that God's called us to do. We're witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. We have the ministry of reconciliation, each and every one of us, whether you're called to preach or not, whether you're called to intercede or not, you're called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're called to go out on the streets, into the highways and the byways and the hedges, and yes, you are to witness. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I said it. Yes, you're to witness. Yes, you're to stand up for what's right, even when your kids look you in the face and say no. You're to stand up for what's right. My kids know their daddy, and they know where I stand. And my two boys need Jesus in a bad, bad way. But you know what? They know where Dad stands on the issue. And there are certain things they don't even talk about or joke about because they know where Heather and I stand on the issues. Well, Brother Sean, where are they? Let me explain something to you. I can make them come to church because I'm their dad. I can make them. Well, why don't you? Because I'm learning that as I grow in the Lord, I ain't the Holy Ghost. I can't make Brother Mike serve God. I can't make him do right. Can't make him, when he's at home in his own condo, read his Bible and pray and seek the face of God. That's an individual person. Only the Lord and the Holy Ghost can do that. And God's kind of using my kids to change me on some things. Not that they shouldn't come to church. They should. But I shouldn't have to fight every Sunday morning either and be in a bad mood before I come to church. So I'm letting, before I come to church every morning, I go and I get the anointing oil. Heather has no idea I'm doing this, but God does. And I'm praying for them, putting anointing oil on their heads and praying for them and praying, pleading the blood of Jesus over them. And I'm in constant prayer over my kids. So I'm expecting God to do some miraculous things. They're already staying home more now because I've been praying. You know how teenagers are. They don't ever want to be home. I didn't want to be home. They don't ever want to be home when they're teenagers. But I've been praying. On Friday night, I had a couple friends stay the night, and I took them all outside and had a little heart-to-heart with them and said, look, there's just some things we don't allow here, and I'm going to tell y'all man-to-man straight up. Some of them are 18 years old. I'm telling you right now that I will open up a can of whoop behind on you if it goes on in my house. And I was very sincere, and I was very serious. Doesn't mean I don't love them. They just know where I stand. And I says, if I've got to go talk to your parents and tell them what I told you, I've got no problem doing that. No, Sean, it's okay. And they respect me. The funny thing about it is they respect me. They don't respect any other parents, but they respect me because they know I'm straightforward. I don't pull no punches, but I tell them all the time, though. I say, you're welcome here. You're welcome to stay. Welcome to have anything out of the fridge. Don't do this and don't steal from me or else there will be problems. And so we have an understanding. So these kids are staying over and I'm going around the house. I'm praying for them, laying my hands on them. And they wake up and the next morning I go, man, it's kind of nice and peaceful here. And I just don't say nothing. Okay, that's what I want. I want them to see the difference of a saved house, a righteous house, in an unrighteous house. So God is moving in the heavenlies. I don't see it yet in the natural. But neither did my mom when I was out there living in sin. But she had to see it through the eye of faith. And I'm having to see things through the eye of faith, and so are you. There are those of you that have loved ones that need Jesus that haven't come yet. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Stand in the gap for them. Make up the heads for them because your day's coming. Your day's coming. That answered prayer's coming. But understand this, that if you have an opportunity to pray for somebody else's loved ones, pray for those other person's loved one and prefer them. By doing so, you're going to release a law of God, and God's going to, when I pray for Mike's family, God's going to take care of my family. God's going, when you pray for other people's family, don't be selfish and just pray for your family. Pray for that other person's family and God will take care of your family. I have seen it happen time and time and time and time again. I'll go to pray for my family and the Lord will stop me. Nope, you pray for this one first. Okay. And we need to be that sensitive to the Lord that he can stop us and he can correct us. Not that he's doing it in love, but guess what? It's just like I was at the hospital with Heather seeing Ballard. Well, why don't you go see your mom? My mom's saved. If she dies, she's going to heaven. If he dies, he ain't going to heaven. So I need to be at the hospital with him. That's where Jesus would be. Jesus didn't come to those that were well. He came to those that needed a physician. He came to the sick. He came to the poor. He came to the needy. Those that are well need not a physician, he said. But those that are sick, they do. And those are the ones that we need to seek out. And those are the ones that we need to touch. Brother Sean, this is hitting close to home. I'm glad it is. It hit close to home to me today. I never would have expected the Lord would have used my daughter to give me a message to talk about being childlikeness tonight. Because I did. I got a little everywhere. I said, Ashley, please go. I got to get ready for tonight. Just like that. Just exactly like that. No sooner than she got down the steps of the portable, I got convicted. And I said, Ashley, come here. See, we need to be sensitive to these kids. Because they're going to see Jesus in us. Or they're not. Your loved ones that need Jesus, they're either going to see Jesus in us or they're not. We got relatives that get mad at us come family reunion time because all we want to do is sing Jesus songs. Right, Sister Kim? They get mad at us, boy. Lord have mercy, they get mad at us. But I don't care. Let them get mad at us. They get upset when we just sing about Jesus. But it's okay. It's amazing. They'll all be out there. As soon as we go out there singing about Jesus, they just disappear. Boom, they're gone. Yep, party's over. But you know what? Most of them have a sense of understanding about Jesus. And some were saved. Others, I don't really know if they've ever been saved, but God knows, and that's all that matters. Well, I'm praying that they get saved because they all need Jesus. All of them. All of them need Jesus. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. We've got to be like children, my brother and sister, and ultimately dependent on our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. We've got to be so dependent on our Master this year that He's our breath, He's our everything this year. This has to be the year that when your finances struggle, you go to Him. You go to your Lord and your Savior. And you say, Lord, I may not be too wise with my finances. Will you give me wisdom and will you help me? I think the wisest person in this church with finances is Mike Schutz. I'm going to be honest. The brother is just, when it comes to his finances, he's got it together. And if he ever wants to teach me and consult me, I'll listen because I don't always have it together. That's your fault, but that's moving right along. Yeah, you were supposed to teach us about money, Daddy. That's your fault. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I know they weren't. You learn. And hey, you know I'm learning, man. I tell you, there's some. Amen, brother. I need to learn. I need to take good notes from that. I received that, brother. Because, I almost got myself in some trouble again. But God is good. I can't wait till 2011 because I'll have two vehicles that will be paid off and I'm not getting two vehicles financed again. I don't know if I'll ever have another car financed. But you don't never know what's going to happen. I mean, when we were at that church New Year's Eve night, I'm sitting in the church and it's on a small piece of property. Church seats probably 50 to 200 people, maybe 100, 150 people. And I'm just sitting there saying, man, we can do this. We can do this. But there are people in that church. I'm going to hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. There are people in that church that sold their houses and rented to build the church that they're in. And when I heard this testimony, as I'm sitting eating at 12:15 in the morning, and I'm fellowshipping, and they're telling me that people in the church sold their houses and gave the money to build the church. I says, wow. I was moved and I was touched. And I says, wow, that is awesome. I'm not saying that we need to do that. Whatever God wants you to do, you do. But I just thought that that was awesome. The people would sell their house to build a house of God for the kingdom of God. I just thought that I was amazing and awesome. That somebody would love God enough to sell their house and take the profits off of it and give it to the kingdom of God. That's unselfishness in the purest form. Because you don't know where you're going to get the money for your next house for a down payment. But I guarantee you, God took care of them. I guarantee you, God took care of them. And it kind of brought to mind when they were telling me the scripture in the book of Acts where they had all things common. They took all their possessions and they sold them. They had all things common and they went house to house breaking bread. I just kind of touched my heart when I heard that. And that means we don't need to have a house with 14 bathrooms and we need to have all things common. Sherry, I know you want one that big, but you can't have one that big. But God is good. God is good. I don't want one that big. I wouldn't know what to do with a house that big. Good God in heaven. 14 bathrooms. Could you imagine? Mike, do the math. 14 bathrooms on toilet paper for a month for that house. That's a lot of money. Just to say that we've arrived or to say that our faith is arrived, that is not faith. That is not faith. Hogwash. Faith is going down and feeding the homeless, casting out devils. That's pure and undefiled religion according to the book of James. Okay, what all these other people want to say, all these other wannabes, all these other wannabe disciples, I don't care what they say. James said pure and undefiled religion is you take care of the widows of the church, you feed the homeless, and you take care of them. He that lendeth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. We got to take care of the... Let me find it here. I wrote this stuff down. I'm not going to use it for time's sake because it's 3 pages. And y'all would be here forever because I'd get excited reading all this and end up preaching some more. But I want to read this, though. We're talking about Christian attributes. What I wrote down here, and this is Christian attributes manifested toward the Holy Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, is filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. It's guided by the Spirit, John 16:13. It's praying in the Spirit, Jude 20. We shouldn't quench the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We should be taught by the Spirit, John 14:26. We should be living in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. We should grieve not the Spirit, Ephesians 4:20. And this is something that we as Christians should manifest to the world. I'm going to say that again. We as Christians should have these attributes and we should manifest this to a lost and dying world. We should have chastity towards the Lord, 1 Timothy 5:22. We should have contentment, Hebrews 13:5. We should have diligence, 1 Thessalonians 3:7. We should have forbearance, Ephesians 4:2. We should have honesty, Romans 12:17. We should have industry, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. We should love toward our enemies, Matthew 5:44. We should live peacefulness, Romans 14:17 to 19. We should have temperance, 1 Corinthians 9:25. We should have tolerance, Romans 14:1 to 23. We should be zealous for good deeds, Titus 2:14. Those are Christian attributes that we should all be walking in, and the world should be seeing coming from each and every one of us. And there's more here, and I can't go into it for time's sake, but if the Lord will allow me, maybe the next time. If you ever notice, very seldom do I get to go back. And God wants us to get the message and go on. I really believe that. Whatever he delivers to us, through our pastor, through me, through anybody that comes, I really believe he wants to speak to us. I believe he wants us to grasp it. And I believe he wants us to keep moving. Because the cloud of glory isn't going to stop. That rock is not going to stop. When they had to follow that rock, when they had to follow that cloud by day and a fire by night, it didn't stop. They had to keep moving. They stopped to sleep and that was it, but they kept moving. Too many times in our Christian life, we quit moving. We get comfortable, we quit moving. We quit praying, we quit moving. And God wants us to grow up and quit it. And God wants us to keep moving. Here's God's hands when we pray. He's able to move. He's able to do this. He's able to do that. When we stop praying, they're still. There's no moving of the Spirit. There seems like there's no life. There is. We're just not praying. The life's in Him. But we're not praying. We're not being like little children and going to the Father and saying, Abba, I need help. Abba, help me fix this. Abba. When my daughter and my sons hurt themselves, they would come in, Daddy, Mama. And their arms would be raised. When Alex was 4 and Aaron was 3, they would always raise their hands. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to raise our hands in complete surrender. Y'all didn't think I could be that quick, did you? In complete surrender to the Lord. But God is good. I didn't want Doug to have to get me after the service for breaking the microphone. So God wants us to be in complete surrender with our arms raised. Abba.
Abba. Abba, Father.
Jesus, help me. When we get into any kind of trouble, why? Because it lets Him know and lets anybody around us that we're dependent on our Lord and Savior. Let your brothers and sisters talk. I just let people talk. Some stuff don't bother me because it comes with the territory. I mean, you should have heard some of the things they said when I first married Heather. Good Lord have mercy. I just let it go in one ear and out the other. It didn't bother me none. Didn't bother me. There were people that told me I shouldn't have married her. She's got 2 kids, and Lord said, I want you to marry her. I said, okay. Hasn't been easy, but you know what? I couldn't be happier with my wife. God gave me didn't give me a perfect wife, but He gave me a good wife. Didn't give her a perfect husband either, but He gave her an okay one. There's a lot of issues the Lord's working on me with patience with my wife, but that's my fault, not hers. Because I'm more mature, so I've got to bear her infirmities. Just like you older women are to teach the younger women, and you're to be patient, and you're to bear their infirmities. I have to bear my wife's infirmities. I have to bear her weaknesses. I have to love. I have to cover. And it's not always easy. But that's why she's the weaker vessel and I'm the stronger vessel. Right, Brother Doug? Well, Sherry might be the stronger vessel, so it might be a little bit back. It might be backwards in that household, but that's okay. God is good. Would y'all please stand? I know I'm funning, but you know what? God has been good to us. He really has. Just open your heart this year. Let God do to you like He's never done before. Just become like a child. That don't mean play video games all the time, Brother Doug, and play Donkey Kong. No, I'm just kidding. But God is good. That's okay.